Uh-oh, the urgency to urinate, frequency, burning with urination. Could be a urinary tract infection or UTI. So let's learn more with Dr. Patrick Bennett, a urologist at Marin Health Urology, a UCSF Health clinic. This is the Healing Podcast, brought to you by Marin Health. I'm Bill Klaproth. Dr. Bennett, thank you so much for your time. So let's start here. What is a urinary tract infection, or a UTI, as it's known as?
Bill, a urinary tract infection are a set of symptoms that a patient reports that we can then determine are due to bacteria that have moved into the bladder and are causing inflammation in the bladder. And we'll talk later about the difference between patients who have some bacteria but no symptoms and those patients who develop symptoms, show up at their provider, and are looking for some solution to these bothersome symptoms, typically urgency to urinate, frequency, burning with urination.
So those are the main symptoms of a UTI. So how does a UTI get treated, or will it go away on its own?
Well, you know, the way I think of this, urinary tract infections have likely been happening for thousands of years to humans, and they must be going away in some cases that physicians aren't available for or aware of. But generally, the symptoms, for instance, in the modern time, are bothersome enough that a patient will get treated with antibiotics. And in the vast majority of cases, a short course of antibiotics will eradicate the infection and relieve the symptoms the patients are having. Now, I think there are patients who develop urinary tract infections that come and go quite quickly without antibiotics, but that probably is a hard number to nail down exactly how often that happens.
Right. So when it comes to treatment, you said antibiotics. Is there any other method of treatment?
Well, we think of it in our practice as what can we add to a short course of antibiotics that may make the infection go away sooner? If a patient were in a situation where antibiotics were not available, the principal thing that the individual could do is drink a lot of water. In many systems, diluting out the bacteria is a great strategy. And so high fluid intake, high water intake, producing a lot of urine, emptying the bladder as completely as possible, that's going to give your body's infection-fighting capabilities the best chance of succeeding.
So when my wife has had a UTI in the past, it was always, get out the cranberry juice and drink a lot of it. Is that an old wives' tale, or is that kind of a good general thought?
Yeah, that is really interesting. You know, throughout history, there have been practices developed that seem to be helpful, and currently, cranberry juice is the thing. Whether it's juice, whether it's extract, whether it's cranberry pill supplements, there's all sorts of cranberry products. Currently, the scientific data supporting cranberry juice or cranberry products is mixed. There are some studies that suggest it's effective. Others don't show any benefit over just fluid alone. So in my practice, I tend to emphasize water. Cranberry juice has a lot of sugar in it in many cases, and there are many patients, for instance, those with diabetes, who are already at an increased risk for urinary tract infections, and knocking back cup after cup of cranberry juice may not be the best thing for that patient. So I think that water is probably more important than anything else. Now, in addition to cranberry juice, people have talked about D-mannose, a supplement, and there have been a number of others, but I think that in the best scientific literature, the results on those supplements remains mixed.
Okay, well, that's really good to know. But like you say, water should do the job and drink a lot of it, and then you're not getting all of the added sugars and other things like that. So that's good to know. So thank you for clearing that up for us as well. So are there any complications that can come from a UTI, or are there any complications from treatment?
Well, that's a great question. And the answer to both is yes, possibly. For the urinary tract infection itself, the most common complication we are concerned about is pyelonephritis, or a kidney infection. And both men and women getting urinary tract infections are prone or at increased risk of having a kidney infection. And that typically would be heralded by fevers and chills and really kind of systemic flu-like symptoms. Now, it's sometimes confusing because even a bladder infection alone without involving the kidneys can cause low back pain. That's a common report that I get from patients, and they don't appear to have a kidney infection, but just low back pain. But if a patient gets fevers and chills, that suggests that it's more than just a bladder infection, and that'll typically require a longer course of antibiotics, and sometimes antibiotics that are a bit more powerful, that get better tissue penetration than some of the ones we use frequently. So that's probably the biggest issue there. For men with a urinary tract infection, it's less common in men than women. The infection can involve the prostate, and those patients too can have systemic symptoms, fevers, chills, flu-like symptoms. And again, we would treat that with a longer course of an antibiotic. And you asked about complications of treatment, and, and this is a big deal. And this is something that urologists are really trying to understand and work with patients to minimize. Antibiotics are effective at eradicating an infection, but the antibiotic may not be distinguishing between the bad bacteria that are in the bladder causing a problem and the good bacteria that live throughout your body, in your colon primarily, but also in other cavities in the body, in the vaginal cavity and on the skin and so on and so forth. And those bacteria, we don't want to be eradicating with antibiotics. Using antibiotics that eradicate those healthy, necessary bacteria can lead to both side effects and complications. So yeast infections and diarrhea or loose stools or crampy abdominal pain, those are the sorts of side effects and complications that can occur with antibiotics. The strategy adopted by urologists and other doctors is to give the shortest course, the fewest days, the fewest doses of antibiotics to try to get rid of the bad bacteria, but leave alone as much as possible the healthy bacteria.
So women mainly have to worry about a kidney infection. For men, it's a prostate infection. And then when it comes to antibiotics, you're always looking to do the shortest course as possible. And then what about people that have recurring UTIs? How do you deal with that?
Another great question. About a quarter of patients who get urinary tract infections, between a quarter and a half, will have so-called recurring infections. And we define that as 2 infections in 6 months or 3 over the course of a year. And there are various strategies that can be adopted in this case. First of all, if there's something that you can identify that's causing it, so so-called honeymoon cystitis is a common factor. Women who are sexually active can develop infections after intercourse. And if that's the case, there's a very effective strategy of having a patient take a very low dose of an antibiotic around the time of sexual activity. And the way this works is interesting. A low, low dose of an antibiotic taken by mouth will, in a very short period of time, within a half an hour or an hour, be concentrated in the bladder. So the rest of the tissues of the body see very, very little of the antibiotic, but it's concentrated in the bladder. And if the bacteria during intercourse or other sexual activity have made it into the bladder, that high concentration of antibiotic will eradicate those. And that patient then won't develop over the next day or so a urinary tract infection. So one strategy can be as needed use of a low dose prophylactic. Now, there are some patients who are getting recurring infections who are not sexually active or who don't have some other identifiable activity that may be bringing on the infection. In selected cases, we talk to patients about taking a low dose every day. And that sounds like a lot of antibiotics, but when you consider that these are individuals who are from time to time taking courses of high doses of antibiotics, it may be safer for them to be taking a daily low dose. Again, a low dose so low it doesn't change the bacteria in the colon, for example. So the use of prophylactic antibiotics and the increase in daily water consumption to be flushing out the bladder, and then also to make sure that the patient is emptying her or his bladder well. And that's something a urologist will do with an ultrasound or several other techniques to ensure that the bladder is functioning properly.
Well, good to know that there are strategies for helping people with recurring UTIs. And Dr. Bennett, do we know why some people are at greater risk for getting UTIs?
Well, we do. There are some types of diseases or conditions or ages when patients are more likely to get infections. A big category here would be women who have gone through menopause. It appears that after menopause, the bacteria that live around the urinary tract may change, and some patients will be then prone to getting recurring urinary tract infections. This has led to the possible treatment option for these women of using a topical, a local estrogen as a replacement therapy down in the region of the urethra, which might reduce the recurrence of infections. And that's something that needs to be weighed against the cost and inconvenience, potential side effects and complications of local hormone replacement therapy. But that can be effective. We know that patients with diabetes, and particularly poorly controlled diabetes, can be at greater risk of urinary tract infections. And looking for signs of diabetes is an important part of evaluating a patient who comes in with a UTI. Another big category are patients who have what we would term voiding dysfunction. One sort of problem or another that leads that patient not to empty her or his bladder fully. In men, that's often a prostate issue where the prostate's gotten larger and they don't empty their bladder. In women, it can be due to a variety of issues as well. One surprising thing that patients often don't think about is that constipation, super, super common as folks get older, is in and of itself a factor that can contribute to bladder dysfunction and to recurring urinary tract infections. So a urologist or another practitioner seeing a patient for a UTI really should be also asking a lot of questions around how the bowels are working, because they're intimately related to how the bladder is working, which might be affecting that patient's risk for an infection.
And then are there ways that people can reduce the risk of UTIs on their own?
Yeah, and this really circles back to what we talked about the factors that are contributing. So keeping the fluid intake up, drinking plenty of water so that one is kind of flushing out the bladder regularly. Another is giving yourself time to urinate and optimizing the effectiveness of getting the bladder empty. So taking time to go to the bathroom when the urge arises, addressing constipation, as we talked about earlier, those strategies should be effective and should reduce as much as possible the risk of infections.
I think most people probably don't drink enough water during the day. And it's interesting to hear you say people need to drink plenty of water and then they need to give themselves time to urinate. So it sounds like if you're constantly flushing the bladder, if you will, that helps decrease the risk for a UTI. And then if you're emptying the bladder properly, is that correct? That seems a fairly simple way to look at it.
You know, Bill, it is very simple in a sense. I see many patients in my office who are raising small children, for example, and mothers and fathers of small children often report, I don't have time to go to the bathroom. I don't drink fluid because I simply don't have time. I'm rushing around. And that's a real phenomenon. And so even a simple thing like drink a lot of fluid and go to the bathroom and empty completely, it may not be as easy to execute as you think, but there is evidence that that's helpful and it certainly has no risk and is a good long-term strategy.
So are there practical steps that people can take if they think that they have a UTI? I know my wife can feel like, oh, I feel it coming on. Are there things people can do?
Sure. On the one hand, it's the fluid intake. Right away, one should really begin knocking back plenty of water to see if that helps. If those symptoms, however, look like they're getting to the point that they may need to be treated with an antibiotic, it is very helpful to provide a specimen for a urine culture. Now, it is entirely good medical practice to give antibiotics without a culture if that's necessary. Many times it's just not convenient to get to a lab before you pick up the antibiotic prescription. But when it is possible for a patient with UTI symptoms to give a specimen that can be checked for a culture, that can be very, very helpful. On the one hand, it'll tell us what is the bacteria and what is that bacteria susceptible to so that we can give the most specific, narrow treatment of antibiotics just for that bacteria and spare the broad spectrum antibiotics that might cause problems otherwise. The second reason that culture is helpful is that let's say the patient actually doesn't have an infection and they have symptoms that are due to something else. Well, that something else could be other forms of inflammation in the bladder, could be a stone, could even be a type of bladder cancer. So we want to be careful about not just treating with antibiotic round after antibiotic round in the absence of a culture, because we could miss something else.
That sounds like it's a smart way to approach that. Well, this has been really interesting, Dr. Bennett. I want to thank you for your time. One last question. Is there anything else you want to add as we talk about UTIs?
Well, I think it's just part of a strategy of trying to keep yourself as healthy as possible. Plenty of fluids, good bowel health, healthy diet, those sorts of things generally will improve a chance that a patient can avoid a urinary tract infection or treat it effectively. And worthwhile to be checked if infections are occurring to make sure there's no sign of diabetes. And work with your primary care provider to see if there are other strategies, such as estrogen in the postmenopausal woman or evaluation of the prostate in older guys, that sort of thing, so that urinary tract infections and then other related issues can be avoided.
Absolutely. Dr. Bennett, I want to thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure, Bill. Nice to speak with you.
And once again, that's Dr. Patrick Bennett. And to learn more, please visit mymarinhealth.org. And if you found this podcast helpful, please share it on your social channels. And check out the full podcast library for topics of interest to you. This is The Healing Podcast, brought to you by Marin Health. I'm Bill Klaproth. Thanks for listening.